Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Pinnacle Presbyterian Church, I've received a warm and hospitable welcome. This is a beautiful place, and you have netting, and you know how to use it. I've heard Wes, let me indulge a personal word of gratitude. I've heard Wes speak, and he's written of the pulpit as witness stand. Now, I'm not getting out of it. I've prepared a sermon for you. But in many ways, as a second career Presbyterian pastor, my presence in the pulpit is my testimony. So this sermon sort of serves as a human footnote that our God indeed calls and imagines us into a future that we did not imagine. Hear now this reading from the Gospel of John, verses 31 through 38. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you look for an opportunity to kill me. Because there is no place in you for my word. I declare what I have seen in the Father's presence. As for you, you should do what you have heard from the Father." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, silence every voice within us but your own. Startle us with your truth, that we may become the people that you had in mind since the very beginning. Amen. It was on a previous visit to Scottsdale, my husband and I made a detour to explore downtown Phoenix. We discovered the Sculpture Garden. You may know it. It's next to St. Mary's Basilica. And as I wandered through that shady courtyard, I came upon a whimsical bronze sculpture by the artist Gary Price. It's a statue of several children about life-sized, holding hands in a circle. And as I got closer, I noticed an opening in the circle. Two outstretched hands for mine, one on the left and one on the right, inviting me to grasp each hand and complete their dancing circle. The children's movements were cast in bronze, kind of the swirl of a skirt and the flip of hair. So the children didn't move, but the sculpture moved me. I reached for the bronze hands and I laughed out loud. I was delighted to participate by holding hands that had been waiting for me to arrive. That opening in the statue, I believe it provides an image for today's text. Jesus speaks of a place, we can also think of it as an opening, within his followers for his word to dwell. Jesus wants that place to be filled with everything the people have heard from God. I imagine that this place to which Jesus refers, it's a place that's already inside of us. It's not created by us. A place ready and waiting for God's revelation to capture our attention and fill us with the Word of God. I picture our very clever Creator, who the psalmist says knit our inward parts, skilled with knitting needles, a master of divine handiwork, intentionally dropping a few stitches to make an opening, a place inside each of us to be filled with the knowledge and the love of God. Jesus knows that being filled with a word makes all the difference. The difference between being enslaved to sin and living in God-given freedom. But like those who heard Jesus speak long ago, we too often reside on the slippery slope of sin that separates us from God. Blinded by our own self-centered thinking, too often we live unaware of the freedom that is found waiting in Christ. Filled with ourselves, we list our accomplishments to embellish our identity. We strut our knowledge to bolster our self-worth. We amass power as somehow that's going to guarantee our future. No wonder we miss the mark. I'd like to share a story of a time that I was stuffed full of myself, and I had no room available for the word in me. I was 23 years old and immersed in my first year as a classroom teacher at a school in a low-income neighborhood in New York City. Oh, I was ready. I was ready for the challenge of teaching 32 Spanish-speaking, I don't speak Spanish, second graders. Armed with plenty of energy and the grit to succeed, I had even read a book, and it was titled Don't Smile Until Christmas. A couple weeks into the school year, a student named Douglas was ruining my perfect plans. His unpredictable behavior upset the order I was working so hard to establish. He was impulsive. He was blurting out whenever he wanted to and whatever he wanted to say. Now, even though I had the backstory that could explain his behavior, it was just difficult to have him in the room. You see, Douglas's mother had abused heroin during her pregnancy with him, and the result of that abuse had caused significant behavioral and learning complications, the extent of which were still coming to light in his 8-year-old body. His abilities and his needs were a mystery. But combined with the work of caring for 31 other children, my patience with Douglas was growing very thin. And one long afternoon, my patience gone, I angrily ordered him to leave the room. It was a power move that I remember my own teachers making when I was a student. And I wanted to make sure that Douglas knew who was in charge in my classroom. And there in the hallway, to my inexperienced teacher surprise, Douglas stood silently in front of me. He didn't argue, protest, or defend his behavior. Instead, water filled his eyes to overflowing, and silent tears began cascading down his chubby cheeks. The wild man of the classroom puddled before me into a sobbing, helpless child. He needed me. Douglas needed a teacher that would look past everything about him that was a no, and to see, and to help him see that he was a yes. In the dim light of that drafty hallway, I saw Douglas as if for the first time. Not as a project or a problem, but because he was entrusted to my care. In that moment, I realized I loved him. Love suddenly showed up, and it filled the place in me that was not about me or my authority or my power or my wisdom. Unsure of what that love would require of me and ask of him, by the end of that would-be confrontation, we were bound to each other in a new way. I think of the followers who actually heard Jesus speak and saw him, like his chest going in and out with breath. And I wonder if they had it easier than we do. because we need to rely on recognizing the Spirit of the living God in so many countless and surprising guises of the ways that God reveals God's self to us. I believe that outside that second grade classroom many years ago, the Word of God showed up unannounced in the face of a vulnerable and crying 8-year-old boy. The love of God filled a place in me, and it changed me from the inside out, summoned me to submit my will and rely on love to take the lead. It was a love, oh, it didn't come with easy answers, but it was patient, and it was kind, and it did not insist on its own way. Jesus says that to fill a place in us with his word will make us free. Freedom found in Jesus Christ determines everything. Like a God-given GPS, the word patiently recalculates after each of our wrong turns. The word continually points us, reorients us into awareness of who we are and to whom we belong, who we include, what we allow, what we resist, why we go, why we hold back. The word of Christ in us points us to our treasure. It inspires us to speak and act. It carries us through heartache, and it provides an alternative to fear. Sisters and brothers in Christ, the Word of God desires to dwell richly within each of us, within all of us together. So many times we resist this most divine invitation. Sometimes we tell ourselves that this Jesus thing, it's a good solid plan B or C in case plan A doesn't work out. But hear this, know this, that God so loved the world in all its stubbornness and its human resistance to move over and make room that he sent his only son. Jesus Christ stepped into the circle of human life, held out his hands for us to join him, and through his life, death, and resurrection, enjoined us once and for all with God. Jesus Christ, fully human, fully divine, a walking, talking invitation to be free and to belong to God forever. That afternoon in Phoenix, as I joined the hands of the bronze children in the circle, I turned and I noticed the little plaque on the ground that had the name of the sculpture. Have you seen it? Its title, Circle of Peace. I think Jesus would like that title. Jesus would like that title because he knew that though he was sent to disrupt our lives with his presence, he knew that his disruption was not to create havoc, but to create new life, an offer of freedom that surpasses our human understanding. God has made a place in all of us for this new life. In just a few minutes, we will celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And at the table, we are met each time by the living God, arms outstretched in welcome and embrace. And we, the children of God, accept that divine invitation when we come. And we accept it in the tangible bread that we eat and the cup from which we drink, joining in again and again as we learn to make a place in us for the Word. May it be so. Amen.